Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. We praise you, Heavenly Father. We magnify you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. I like doing this. Would everybody just bear with me? Put your arms up in the air like this toward heaven and just say, praise the Lord. We worship you, Lord. We magnify you, Lord. We open our hearts and minds to you right now, Lord. And we glorify you, Heavenly Father. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The landmine of unforgiveness. The landmine of unforgiveness. What was your response the last time someone hurt you? Do you remember? Has anybody ever been hurt in this place? Or just me? Huh? Just think about it. What was the hurt that you felt the last time someone did hurt you? It's not fun, is it? It's not fun. Perhaps you felt the urge to retaliate, which is kind of my way sometimes when somebody hurts me. I'm thinking of ways to get back at them. Am I the only one in that one too?
No.
It gets lonely up here, you know. Maybe you took no action, but instead harbored bitterness in our heart. And maybe you have family members, maybe even yourself, but I know of family members in our families that hold on to bitterness for years and years and years from hurt. And that's how they live out their life, right, to when they die. And that's really sad when that happens. So if you fail to realize that you do great damage to yourself. We do. We do great damage to ourselves when we harbor unforgiveness in our hearts, in unforgiving spirits. Failure to forgive is a devastating form of self-punishment, a destructive landmine in the path of the believer. And how many of you understand that unforgiveness will short-circuit God's blessings into your life also? Amen. We don't think it, but that's what's happening many times in our life. Regardless of who did it, you owe it to Jesus to forgive, right? Let's all say it together. I owe it to Jesus to forgive.
I owe it to
Jesus to forgive. See, don't bury the hatchet and leave the handle sticking out. Right? To share boundless forgiveness means that we must get beyond. And first consider God's forgiveness of you. It says in Psalms chapter 32, 1 through 2. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputes not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. Hallelujah, hallelujah for that. I thank God for forgiveness. See, although we are guilty, the Lord's not going to impute iniquity upon us. Even though we're guilty, he's not going to do it. He's providing our faith. And providing our faith is in Jesus Christ. Secondly, understand that forgiveness isn't easy, is it? When someone hurts us, it's not an easy thing to do. The barriers of unforgiving in the heart, in identifying unforgiveness, there's always three signs. The first one is revenge, which says, I'm going to get even. The next one, number two, resentment, which says, I'm going to stay angry. Can you relate with those? The third one is remembering, which says, I'll never forget. Those are the three. Our attitude concerning forgiveness. Before you say, I can't forgive, or more truthfully, I won't forgive, let's consider a few things here. Number one, the consequences of unforgiving spirit says in Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You know, we got to remember, think about that. We got to take God's word seriously because he put that in there for a purpose. And many times when we are wondering why aren't we getting answers, this could be part of the reason. We need to search our hearts. That's why the Lord wants us to search our hearts, judge ourselves, and look within ourselves. Is there something in me that's stopping God from hearing my prayer? Huh? A lot of times we're harboring something and we're going to hold on to it and we think we can still go to God and ask for whatever we want. And we got to understand that this scripture is God's word. It wasn't in there by accident. God put it in there for a reason. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. We need to get it forgiven. See, remember the unmerciful servant in Matthew 18? The one that owed 10,000 talents. He pleaded for mercy. He pleaded for forgiveness. And then when he was finally forgiven, what happened? He went to someone and owed him 100 talents. His was forgiven probably millions for all we know. And the other one was just $100 maybe. Who knows? But when he was forgiven of his, he went to the other to collect on his, and he wouldn't forgive that servant. He wouldn't do it. So here's how the parable ended in Matthew 18:34. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. That's how he treated the one who didn't, that owed him, I should say. And then in Matthew 18:35, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. That's some serious preaching there, huh? Yeah. We got to take that seriously. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. No matter what. We forgive them. Jesus wants us to understand that refusing to forgive opens the door to inner torment in our life. And the word tormentors is very important. It means to be in great pain, to be in agony. And that's why sometimes there's Christians you see that they have long faces all the time and there's never a smile on their face, is because they're in torment, because they're holding on to grudges and unforgiveness in their heart for somebody hurt them in some way, ignored them or said something or didn't do something, and it hurt them deeply, and they walk around and you can see it on their facial expression. You can see it upon them. It's torment. It's torment. The warning is that those who refuse to forgive will be turned over to torturous thoughts, feelings of misery, and agonizing unrest within. That's what happens, people, when you and I will not forgive someone who has hurt us or has done us wrong. We are agonizing within inside. Some of you here this morning might be that way. You might be sitting in here in torment. And maybe you just kind of gloss it over and say, that's not me. But I tell you what, the Holy Spirit knows. He knows what we've tried to clear out of our minds and we haven't dealt with it, and we need to deal with it. Even some of you have had loved ones or maybe someone who's died in your life that has hurt you and you've never had a chance to forgive them. You can still do that. Did you know that? You can still do that. But you've got to get it cleaned out of your spirit, because if you don't, you will have agony within yourself. See, the Lord is telling us to forgive quickly. You know the best time to forgive somebody, and it's not easy, I'm not saying it is because I've been there, is to do it as quickly as possible. Don't wait. Even if you can do it immediately after the hurt's there, you can forgive someone for hurting you. That's the best time to do it, so it doesn't fester with inside, and so your enemy can come in and put thoughts in your mind of revenge and how to get back at somebody. You need to release it to the Lord right away, and that's really what God is teaching us to do, is to be able to forgive right away. Then we're like Jesus. Amen? Then we're like Jesus. It sounds fairly simple, but it isn't, and I understand that wholeheartedly. But it's necessary. When someone commits a terrible offense against you, no matter whether the hurt came from way of words or deeds, forgiveness can be terribly difficult in our life. The enemy will entice you to be so angry that you take revenge. How many people have destroyed their life because they have allowed anger to whelm up within them and unforgiveness, and they go out to try to bring revenge against somebody else, and they ruin that person's life or somebody else's life or their own life just because of unforgiveness within their heart? And they've done that. And there's many people who have lost their lives because of unforgiveness and hatred. See, as a mature believer, however, we must avoid the enemy's landmine and choose the peace of forgiveness of Christ has always shown us. See, when we learn to forgive right away, there's a peace that comes into our spirit. And we become more like Jesus, and we find out that how he can help us through the Holy Spirit to forgive. And sometimes you may even have to say, Lord, I forgive the person, but I don't feel like it. I don't want to do it. My mind is in myself with all. I don't want to say I forgive that person. But Lord, I'm going to do it because you ask me. That's why. Then you know something? You may not feel it at that point. But just the fact that you told Jesus, I forgive him, God. I don't want to, but I'm going to do it because you asked me. And then the Holy Spirit can start to begin bringing healing into your spirit. And pretty soon the thoughts are there that there's no more torment there. As the Holy Spirit is working that forgiveness out within you. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, 26-32, it says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And see, that's a key part too. Many times you and I, when we've been hurt, even within a marital relationship or whatever, we've been hurt and we have problems within the home, we go to bed and we got the wrath laying in our hearts and not forgiveness. That's the worst thing we can do. We need to give forgiveness before we go to sleep at night in order to not allow the enemy to deal with our minds and to bring in the temptation of revenge, or I'm going to get even, or I'll show them. Huh? You all relate with those kind of thoughts? We do. I do. Neither give place to the devil. See, when we don't get forgiveness out right away, we give place to the enemy to come in and begin to do thoughts and things in our life that can destroy us and others. Look how many marriages get problems and even break up because there's no forgiveness, because one spouse will say to the other, I'm not going to forgive you. They're not going to forgive. And back and forth and back and forth. And really, that's pride there too. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Listen to this now. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Did you hear that? Let it be put away, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God. Should I say, oh my, or ouch? That means if you and I have something against someone, and even in this room today, God wants us to be kind and tender-hearted toward the person that even hurt us. And that's not easy. But I tell you what, when you surrender to the Holy Spirit and allow yourself and your pride to go by the wayside, and you do what Jesus does, peace comes within your heart. Amen. And you find out you become a more forgiving person. And you'll find out that maybe people won't hurt you as much as the enemy would like you think they would do. Because sometimes people don't intend to hurt us, but they do, and then we put up walls, don't we? I've learned as being a Christian through the years, especially being in teaching and preaching situations, I've been shot at many times with pretty nasty things. But I realize that that's not the person, that's the enemy coming against me. And I got to look at that person and say, Lord, that's my brother or that's my sister in Christ, and I forgive them for what they just said. And it's easier for me to do it now than it was 20 years ago, because I got to keep practice, because guess what? I'm still speaking. And you learn to do that because that's what Jesus does. He always forgives when we ask him. It says in Matthew chapter 6, 9 and 15, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Wow. I don't know about you people, but I want to stand before Jesus one day, and I don't want to have any unforgiveness in my heart to no one. To no one. That you will have to stand before the Father, and He can sense, can see that you have unforgiveness in your heart. Because that will be judged. That will be judged. Mark 11, 25 says, "And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses." It's good to have a forgiving spirit. Amen? Come on, people, amen?
Amen.
I know this isn't fun, but I tell you, it's the truth. It's the truth of God's word, and we need to be excited that God would put that in there. Just think if He hadn't told us that. But His grace and His mercy and His kind and His love and His forgiveness in us, He told us this so that we could keep our hearts to where He could hear our prayers. Because He's a God who wants to answer our prayers. He loves us so much that He died on Calvary's cross, forgave us of our sins when we didn't even deserve it, so that we can forgive others theirs also. But did you hear that? Forgiveness from the Lord on our part is dedicated on us forgiving others. We have to forgive others. Matthew 18, 21 and 22. "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times seven." In other words, Jesus says as many times as it takes, you keep forgiving someone who has hurt you. Because sometimes people hurt us over and over and over. But you know something? Jesus said when they do, you keep forgiving them. You keep saying, I forgive you for hurting me. You keep asking, and the Lord will forgive you. Amen? There's no end to it. If somebody says, oh, they've done that enough to me, I'm no longer going to forgive them. You're the one that's going to be in torment. You will be in torment. As many times as it takes, God is telling us that we need to forgive. Because when we do, people, I'm going to keep saying it. When you and I learn to forgive, we become like Jesus more and more. And that's what God is preparing us for all eternity, that when we see Him, we'll be like Him. And Jesus is a forgiving God. He is a loving, forgiving God. He continues to forgive you and I as we forgive others. He continues to forgive you and I when we fall into sin, when we ask Him. But He's ready. Should we ask for forgiveness, He said He is ready to forgive us. Isn't that awesome to have a God like that? I wouldn't want to serve some of the other gods that I hear about that are dead ones, by the way. They got to keep digging them up. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's Jesus. He's faithful. He's faithful to forgive us. See, the definition of unforgiveness. If you want to understand unforgiveness, you must first know what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is the willingness to give up your resentment towards someone who has wronged you, regardless of how serious or painful that wrong might have been. In other words, you renounce any desire to get even. Because the first thing that pops in our minds when we've been hurt is we want to retaliate, or we want to think evil things. How can we get even? Or we build a wall up and we get hurt and we turn away, we walk away. How many times have God's people been hurt even within a church situation and they'll even leave a church? Because they hold unforgiveness in their heart because of someone that hurt them. Whether it be the pastor, teachers, someone, a friend within the church, a brother or sister in Christ. And they will turn and walk away from the church and say, I will never go back to a church. They had their eyes on the wrong thing. We put them on Jesus. That's who we do. Because I tell you what, people, it's going to happen. We are a family. And how many know that families fight? How many know that we have problems within families? That's what happens when we bring a group of people together, as well as in a home where there are families. There's going to be problems, and they need to be taken care of. And we have to remember that. We can identify three elements to forgiveness: to give up resentment about the wrong, to give up resentment toward the wrongdoer, and to give up plans for retaliation. And you know something, in my life, I've learned that people have hurt me, even on the job or whatever, that I held on to, and I would go home sometimes and think, how can I get even with this person to work for what they just did to me today or whenever? And I'd play it over and over. I'd allow the enemy to come in and give me those thoughts. And as a Christian, I'm confessing now. And then I say, Lord, forgive me, but you want me to pray for this person that just hurt me and to forgive them. And the moment I got to a point where I said, Lord, I forgive that person, no matter, I don't like them, I don't like what they did, but Lord, I'm going to forgive them because you told me to do it. And then I'm going to let you deal with them. And God always does. He always does. But you know something? I lost the burden and the pressure of holding wrong thoughts toward them. I no longer carried around. If their name comes to your mind, I was thinking, God will deal with them. God will deal with them, but I forgive them. And I tell you what, it's much better to go through life like that. See, forgiveness is more than just saying some words. It's got to come from the heart. It may start here, but it's got to come from the heart. Unforgiveness, on the other hand, is a deliberate mindset to do the opposite, to resent the wrong and the wrongdoer and to seek revenge. It does just the opposite than forgiveness. In Ephesians chapter 4:31, Paul associates unforgiveness with, he says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. He says, put it away. That means we got to put our will into action, and we got to put it away out of our life, don't we? With the help of the Holy Ghost. See, malice is a desire to harm others or to see others suffer, extreme ill or spite. God says, put it away. But it's hard to understand why anyone would choose those painful attitudes over tenderness and gentleness and forgiveness. See, when we choose, it's our will, people. We put it in, we can either choose to be unforgiving or we can choose to do what God says and to have a tender spirit, an unforgiving spirit. It's a lot nicer to have God's way, isn't it? Because then the smiles can come back. The burden is lifted. And that we become more like Jesus. That's how we become like Jesus, when we do what His Word says. That's why we preach the Word of God into our lives in order to do what Jesus said to do. However, many people today are physically ill because they do just that. They hold on. They hold on. They live day by day, year by year, with the cancer of unforgiving in their heart. The description of unforgiveness: the unforgiving heart clings to the past, refusing to extend to others what our Heavenly Father has extended to us. It says in Ephesians 4:32, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Just think what Jesus did for you and for me by hanging on Calvary's cross. He said, I forgive you for what you've done. All your sins, past, present, and future. I forgive them. I put them under my blood, and I cleanse you. And I wash them away, and I put them into the sea of forgetfulness, never to remember them again. And so whenever somebody hurts you and I, we need to come back to that scripture and remember what Jesus said, forgiving one another. We need to be quick to forgive each other when we are hurt, because look what Jesus did for you and I. Look what He did for you and I. We do not have to spend hell in eternity because Jesus said, I'll forgive you. One of the most significant repercussions is that bitterness takes root in the heart, and then it spreads its poison to choke out every godly trait within us. That's what bitterness does in unforgiveness. We don't become like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We become like the enemy. And that's what turns even the world off sometimes with Christians who have unforgiving spirits. That's why sometimes you can go into a restaurant and there can be a brother or sister in Christ that has an unforgiving spirit, and they'll treat the waitress that way. They'll treat anybody because they got the wall up and they're ready to lash back if anybody doesn't do something just right. But I tell you what, when you walk into a place and you have the unforgiveness spirit upon you, the Holy Spirit moving on you, and a waitress may say something or not do something right, your spirit is instantly say, that's all right, I understand. And you can impact that person's life. You know, it's really fun to leave a restaurant. I always bring those up because those young men and women that serve us when we go into these places, just think of all the people that come in with all the different attitudes and different things they want. There's demand constantly. And I tell you what, it's fun to leave when they say, boy, we're really glad you came in here today. That we're really glad you came in. We really enjoyed having you as customers today. And that's what it should be. And you always have an opportunity to witness and to share with them or ask, can I pray with you over something? And I won't go into it, but we did that one time and actually had a waitress sit down next to us and pour out her heart. But if you have an unforgiveness spirit, you don't care about anybody else, only yourself. And that root of bitterness grows deep within you. Jesus saith unto him, in Matthew 18:22, he said, Jesus saith unto him, I say unto you, thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. We always forgive. And all these passages from God's word make it clear that unforgiveness is never an option for a committed believer. We will never be able to justify unforgiveness, no matter how deep the pain, no matter how deep the hurt is. You and I will never stand before Almighty God and justify unforgiveness within our heart, because the one that hung on Calvary's cross. That's why we'll never justify unforgiveness, because of the one who hung on Calvary's cross. He hung out there and says, Lord, forgive them. He forgave the whole world. The whole world. And look at the cruelty and look what they're doing to Jesus yet in the world we live. And he's still saying, I forgive you. If they come to him, he'll say, I forgive you. They run his name through the mud. They ridicule. They call him things and say things that he is and he isn't. They put him in an evil spot up in this world, the world does. But he will reach out as soon as their heart comes tender and they come to you and say, forgive me for what I said and did about you. Jesus said, I'll forgive you right now. I forgive you. That's Jesus, because of what he did on Calvary's cross. The destruction of unforgiveness. What are the consequences of unforgiving spirit? Jesus teaches us that God wants to answer our prayers, but that we must first forgive others. If we don't, it will make us bitter, and it'll affect our prayer life too, people. Likewise, our worship will be affected. There's people that come to church on Sunday mornings that hold on forgiveness in their heart, and when we're led to worship our God, they can't do it because they're thinking about the hurt within their own life, and they can't surrender the worship to a forgiving God until they submit to that God and say, I forgive them for what they've done to me. We miss out what God's got for us. Oh, the Lord is, you know, people, if we could just grasp the Word of God the way we need to as Christians, and we bring it into our hearts and lives, we could understand how much God has got for us, and that true joy that it talks about in Scripture could really come in where there's bitterness and hurt if we would just release it to Jesus. If there's somebody sitting in here right now and you got a name in your head and say, this person hurt me deeply and I haven't forgiven them yet, you can bring their name before the cross right now and say whatever that name is and say, Lord, I forgive them. And the Holy Spirit will begin to do a work within you. And the next time you think about their name, maybe it won't be as deep of a hurt. That hurt will go by the wayside. And the more you do it, pretty soon that hurt is gone, and you know that there's forgiveness, true forgiveness from your heart, that if that person walked in the door and you looked right at him, you could look at him and smile and say, good morning, how are you today? With no wrongdoing in your mind, because of the Holy Spirit's doing a work within us. Jesus teaches us that when we are in conflict, we we are to stop even in the middle of our worship and go and set matters right. Did you know that? Our witness, our witnessing, our giving, and our overall spiritual growth are terribly weakened by a heart that carries bitterness and unforgiveness. Every other aspect of life is affected as well. When we're loaded down with stress and anxiety and resentment, physical illness may result if we carry that. Finally, because others don't enjoy being around bitter people, our relationships are poison too. And I've been around people like that, and they're no fun. They're no fun. Not that they got to be fun, but they're just not fun. They're just not people you want to be around. But I want you to understand, beyond torment, unforgiveness has threefold effect. The final effect of unforgiveness: disease, death, and damnation. There's people who won't accept the cross. They won't accept Jesus' forgiveness. They choose damnation. All because of unforgiveness. And Jesus calls us to the cross. Dealing with unforgiveness, to confront an unforgiving spirit, the first requirement is to take it seriously and assume full responsibility for our own decisions and our own actions. We acknowledge unforgiveness as a sin and confess it honestly to God. If you are sitting here this morning and you know that you have unforgiveness in your heart, it is your responsibility to come before the cross and say, Jesus, forgive me. I am holding unforgiveness with my heart. I've held it for many years, many months, many weeks, many days, whatever the case may be. But you need to come to the cross and say, Jesus, forgive me. And we, you know what John 1:9 said? He's faithful to forgive if you should ask. The next step is to lay our anger down, strip it away, because then we can ask God's forgiveness. After that, we should begin praying for the other person, which isn't always easy to do, is it? If that person has been aware of our bitterness, we should go to them and ask their forgiveness. And that's not easy, too. Pride is always, the enemy's always got that spirit of pride, boom, ready to stop you. But if you can think of a person that has hurt you, you need to go to them and say, I forgive you. You hurt me and I forgive you. It's not based on feelings, people. It's based on faith. Faith in what God said we'd to do here. Feelings, if we lived all our life by feelings as Christians, we wouldn't be living for Jesus very much. Because feelings are like the wind out there. One moment's coming this way and the next minute this way, and we're all over the board. And that's sad today, because many churches are based on feelings, feel, experience. No, we do it by faith. Jesus says we live from faith to faith. If that person has been aware of our bitterness, we need to ask them. We can live out God's grace by asking Him to show us something we can do on the other person's behalf. Serving them instead of resenting them. Can you imagine going helping someone who's hurt you? Saying, I forgive you, what can I do to help you? Doing something nice for them, tenderness, remember that? Tenderness and kindness Jesus said to do. It's things that's against who our nature is, because we're sinful people. Did you know that? It's not easy to do. Some it's easier for, but some it's harder for. Because you're afraid that if you do that, you're going to think they got their way. And they did. They got their way and they're okay now. That isn't the way it works. Finally, we prevent the devil from trapping us again by refusing to rehash the same old issue or allowing the bitterness to seep back in. We got to quit dwelling on that stuff. The debt must be forgiven and canceled in the same way our sins are. Once you forgive somebody, don't allow the enemy to come in and bring that thing and play it over and over like a record player in your mind. You got to forgive it and forget it. You got to move on. Demonstrating forgiveness, you say, Pastor, how do I know if I have unforgiveness? Listen here. You need to do four things. Number one, ask the Lord to open your eyes of unforgiveness through the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, help me to open my eyes of unforgiveness. Number two, seek genuine forgiveness from those individuals. Number three, ask for the Lord's grace to help you to forgive And number four, ask the Lord to forgive you and to cleanse you from the pain and sorrow that's within your own personal life. That's what you need to do. And some Christians believe they have forgiven the persons that have wronged them, but the roots of the bitterness are still deep within their hearts. So how can you know you've truly forgiven someone? There are two indications that you've been obedient to Christ in this area. Here they are. First, you know you have forgiven when your feelings toward that other person have changed. You no longer see hate signs in your eyes when you see them or think of their name. When you see him or her, you will be aware that the resentment is gone. You no longer resent them. You can see them, you can walk by them, and you no longer have that terrible gut feeling. Second, you know your forgiveness is genuine when you feel concern for the other person you care about, his or her spiritual welfare, and you want what is best for him and her. That's when you know forgiveness gotten there, when you don't want that person to go to hell. Or you don't want to affect their life spiritually either because of unforgiveness. Then you know unforgiveness is in the heart. Sometimes it takes it from coming from here to get to here. But once you put it into action, the Holy Ghost is gracious and he begins to go to work in you and I, and he makes us like Jesus. Oh, it's so nice not to carry unforgiveness. Oh man, what a blessing. Jesus did that on Calvary's cross. He was our example. He hung on the cross and he said, I'll take all your sins and I'll forgive you of all of them. And that's why he cries out to you and I to say, forgive when you're hurt. Just forgive. Just forgive. No matter how deep the hurt is, no matter how severe the pain is, just ask Jesus. Just ask forgiveness or give them forgiveness. Say, I forgive you, and take it off yourself. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I believe the Holy Spirit is working in somebody's heart right now. And it's something that he's going to bring spiritual healing into your life. He's doing a work because he's got a plan for your life, and bitterness has held you back. Satan has blinded you from that blessing because Satan never forgives. Jesus always forgives. And he wants you released from that pain and that suffering in order for you to go forward in your Christian life. I've discovered how God blesses us when we choose to forgive others. He removes all the baggage of resentment, the malice, the wrath that weighs you and I down. Then all the goodness of his righteousness can come flooding into our spirits and our lives, and we can be joyful and fulfilling as the way he created us to be. There can be true joy. How many desire true joy in your life? You just say, Lord, I need joy. I need to walk in joy. I know I do. Because the Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. When I have joy, my spiritual strength is up there. And when my strength is up there, no matter what comes against me, my faith is strong because I'm joyful in my spirit and my faith counteracts whatever's coming against my life and I walk in victory. I become more than a conqueror to them that are in Christ Jesus. And when I have forgiveness in my heart for others, I have the power of Jesus Christ moving and flowing through me, and I have the joy of the Lord. Like David says, Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. And salvation is a joyous thing, and many of us have taken it for granted. We have allowed the enemy to seep into our Christian life and rob us of what God wants us to have, and it's through unforgiveness many times, even within the body of Christ. Especially in the body of Christ, he wants us to forgive one another. But not only that, the world needs to see our forgiveness too. They need to see it. What about the person who wronged you? Let the Lord sort that out. He's real good at it. I watched him deal with the people who hurt me, and I tell you what, I'm glad it was God that did it, not me. I'd be in trouble. But see, God loves the person that we are unwilling to forgive too. And he wants to do a work within them to bring them into the kingdom. And if they're already in the kingdom, he needs to do a work in them also. In time, even the one who wronged you will stand before God in judgment. Your responsibility is simply to let go of the resentment, owing no one anything except the ongoing debt of love. That's what we owe. The landmine of unforgiveness may explode slowly, but it destroys us just the same way. Did you know that? Let's all stand, please. Gentlemen, you can prepare for communion. Through the power and grace of the Lord Jesus, however, we can be free from its terrible devastation, free from old grudges to walk in peace and joy and victory. Is there someone that you need to forgive? Or do you need forgiveness today? Do you need forgiveness? I should have probably have you please be seated again. I apologize. We are taking communion, and I said that. It's easier to take things when you're sitting down. But I want the Holy Spirit, before we take communion, I would ask that the Holy Spirit will speak to your and my heart. And the Bible tells us that we need to judge ourselves, and you need to ask the Lord to examine your heart before you take communion. If there's unforgiveness in there, it'd be a good time to get rid of it. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Is there anyone in your life that the name comes up into your heart that you have aught against? Even within the body of Christ, if we have aught against someone, the Lord tells us that we're to go and make it right. Holy Spirit, move amongst your people, Lord. Move amongst your people and let joy become return into their hearts, and let them sense your presence and power. Let them, Lord, let your people afresh sense your forgiveness. Even those that are not harboring any unforgiveness, that they're just here this morning, but we've taken your forgiveness for granted. And it doesn't mean a whole lot like it used to. Even though we still love you, Lord, and everything, we grow that way as human beings, Father. We need to be reminded of that forgiveness, that you forgave us of all of our sins. Hallelujah, Jesus. Just praise him. Just praise him as you're sitting there, and just have a conversation with him through the Holy Spirit and just say, Lord, this person harmed me. This person hurt me deeply. This person is always offending me. This person, Lord, I bring this person before you right now. Holy Spirit, help me. Give me the grace to say I forgive them, Lord, right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you for your forgiveness, Lord. We thank you for dying on Calvary's cross. We thank you for all you've done for us, Father. And while we were yet sinners, you died for us. And while we were yet sinners, you loved us. And we thank you, Lord. And we praise you, Lord. Glory to God. I think I should do this right now. If there's anyone in this room right now that needs healing in your body, I'm going to have you move out here. I'm going to anoint you with oil, and then we're going to have the other leaders help pray, and we're going to pray before we take communion. We're going to do that. We're just going to take time. It's not going to take that long, but we're going to do it. If you have a hard time standing or anything, you can stay seated too. But if you want to come forward out here, if you want us to pray over you, we believe in healing here. Yes. That by Jesus' stripes you're healed. Don't let the enemy rob you of what God wants to do, people. Always remember that. You say, well, I've been praying for months and years, and I still have the same. Don't let that be a factor. God didn't put a timetable on anything. He said that by Jesus' stripes we are healed. He said that by Jesus' stripes we were healed.
Yes. Amen.
Praise the Lord. I anoint you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.